let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 14. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 24, where Jesus introduces the promise of the Holy Spirit. But he spends most of the passage talking about his love for the Father and his love for us. So starting with the 15th verse of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. O Lord, who is sufficient for things such as this? To look into these words you have spoken, Jesus, and to understand them and explain them. Lord, I trust and pray that during this hour, you will do just that very thing. Explain these words that you have spoken so that we can understand them in a way that draws us deeper into you and your love and draws us deeper into obedience to you, loving you and following your commandments and keeping them. And so, Lord, I just ask that nothing would come from my mouth but what you would have spoken, and that we would all hear these words, understand these words, and receive these words. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay. Well, this is starting to get more serious, isn't it? From going to these parables that are kind of hard to understand sometimes to the real serious, no kidding. This is where Jesus is at right now. Remember that Judas is out there somewhere in the darkness, finding those persons who he's going to betray Jesus to, and getting ready to lead them back to the same upper room where Jesus is. Although Jesus will be gone by the time Judas gets there, nonetheless, Judas is on his way. And Judas Iscariot, not to be confused with the same Judas who's in verse 22, which is a different disciple. And so Jesus, knowing that his time is short, says these words to his disciples. And he says them, at least the way the text reads and the way I've understood it, working through it this week, he says it with such a gentle voice of love. There doesn't seem to be any rushed, hurried harshness in his tone of voice as we read this passage, this paragraph, these two paragraphs. And he just is loving. So we start out looking here in verse 15 and 16, where he says that, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We've talked about that a few weeks before when Jesus, in verse 31 of chapter 13, when Jesus gives this commandment to love one another. And so now, he's telling us, remember when I said a few minutes ago to love one another. Now he's telling us, this is how you'll be able to love one another. Because he was asked the Father, and the Father will send another helper to be with us so that we are able to love one another. Have you ever noticed how much easier it is to love each other when you are walking in the Spirit? When you're walking in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, you're walking that, and you're just living with Him and Him living in you and Him guiding you and influencing you, it's just easier to love one another than it is when you're not walking in the Spirit. On those occasions where I step out of line with the Spirit, well, I'm not that bad, but I'm not exactly loving. I'm something between harsh and nice. Some of you may not have experienced that yet. Just stay around a little longer. Yes, that's right. Where is my wife? She could stand up here beside me and go, hallelujah, preach it, brother. I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. I tried not to laugh. I really did. Where was I? Oh, loving one another by the power of the Spirit. Yes. And then, so this is where he starts to make the promise in verse 16 of the Holy Spirit. But then in verse 17, he makes it explicit by saying, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I think it's fascinating that here in this verse 17, he talks about that his disciples in that moment says, he tells them they know the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, because he dwells with them. But notice the back part of that phrase, and he will be in you. So they haven't truly received the full measure of the Holy Spirit yet at this moment. The Holy Spirit's dwelling with them, but because Jesus hasn't fully been glorified yet through his crucifixion and resurrection, and even his ascension, the Holy Spirit can't be given even to his disciples in a way that where the Holy Spirit is dwelling within them. That doesn't happen until Acts chapter 2 in Pentecost. But nonetheless, the Spirit is promised, and by God's mercy, we have been given His Spirit in a full measure. Putting our faith in Christ, trusting in Him and His work on the cross for our forgiveness of sins, for Him shedding His blood for us, and that being verified by His resurrection from the dead 3 days later, because of all that, we receive the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, just as the disciples did after Pentecost. And throughout the New Testament church and throughout church history and even modern church history today, those who dwell with Christ have the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. And we can enjoy this. We can enjoy the fellowship and the friendship that comes from the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We can find the sweetness that comes with having a richer and deeper relationship with Christ because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. All these gifts given by Jesus to us out of his love for us. It's just stunning to me. Every time I think about it, I get re-amazed about his loving us so much that he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. It'd be one thing if the Holy Spirit sat on our shoulders, whispering in our ears, from time to time. Even that would be more than enough. We couldn't ask for more if he just did that. But he goes farther than that. He goes even beyond what would be enough and has the Spirit dwelling within us for our good. Right? I mean, Jesus loves us and wants a close relationship with us, intimacy with him. But he doesn't need it. Right? You understand that Jesus doesn't need me and you. While that may be a blow to some of your egos, he just doesn't need us. He wants us, even though he doesn't need us. He wants us. Can you believe this? The God of heaven and earth wants us to be in intimate fellowship with him, so he gives the Holy Spirit to make it possible we could be in intimate fellowship with him. And without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we could never have intimate fellowship with him. I'm emphasizing this because I want it to soak in. I want you to see this. I want you to feel it. This realization that he doesn't need you, but he wants you. And he gives you the Holy Spirit so you can have intimate fellowship with him. And it also enables us to have intimate fellowship with each other. The best of both worlds. Enjoying one another and enjoying him. How good. Thank you, Jesus. Then, look, just verses 15, 16, and 17 would be enough. They would be enough by themselves. But Jesus goes even further. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, while it's true that he came to the disciples in physical form after his resurrection, he nonetheless has come to his children and those who follow him throughout the ages, throughout the history of the church, to fellowship with them through the Holy Spirit. Because, as he's pointed out, and we're about to get into, he is in the Father is in him, and the Spirit is in him, and the Father is in the Spirit. We get all of it. We get God the Father, we get God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he comes to us. Oh, just a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. To me, that's another stunning statement. Because he lives, we will get to live. Now, I think what Jesus is saying here is that because he will live again, you and I will have eternal life. That's what I think he's trying to say here with this, because I live, you will live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Here again, notice this. He specifically speaks about the Father. He specifically speaks about himself. And he had specifically spoke about the Holy Spirit before. So you see, we have the Trinity, all three present in these few verses. The Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus. And they're clearly spoken of as three separate people. Yet, at the same time that he speaks of three separate people, he says, I am in my Father, you are in me, I in you. And then earlier he said, I am in my Father, in the previous passages in 12 and 13. So I start losing track of who is who. like, okay, get this. I almost need a chart, right? God is in Jesus. Jesus is in us. We are in Jesus, which means we're in the Father. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, which makes it possible for all of those above, which means we also have the Spirit. Seriously, I can't keep up with it all. All I know is it sounds like it's a really good thing. And from my personal experience walking in my Christian life, it's been a good thing. Unlike runny noses. And then he comes back to this statement that he said before and said even at the beginning of the passage. Whoever has my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay, so Jesus, this is not too hard to grasp, right? Jesus is saying if we keep his commandments, that shows that we love him. And because we love him, he loves us, and we will also be loved by the Father. That's how we can say that God loves you to those around us, especially to those who have not trusted in Christ yet, but we are speaking to them in the hopes that they will believe in Christ. We can say God loves you because he loves those who are in him. And he has this love for his people, even if they're not his people yet. Here's another fascinating thing. Think about this. The only way we can keep his commandments is through the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, right? The answer is yes. That was not a rhetorical question. That was group participation time. So, the only way we can keep his commandments is by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yet, however, we struggle with keeping his commandments. You ever notice that? Right? And so, especially early on in our Christian life, for those of us who've been around for a while, we really struggled to keep his commandments. But did you notice what made it easier to keep his commandments? Keeping his commandments. Now, this isn't just, you know, the basic principle, the more you do something, the easier it gets to do, and the more you can do. This is not that. This is, because we obey, the Spirit gives us greater capacity to obey. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Right? So, we start out as new Christians, and we have just, we'll say just a little bit of obedience. Well, we have that little bit of obedience then causes the Holy Spirit to expand our capacity to obey Christ and keep his commandments. And all of a sudden, we're starting to keep more of them. And that process of obedience, expanding our ability to obey, continues all the way on through our Christian maturation until we've gone as far as the Lord's going to take us, which in many cases is going to be leaving this earth and going to dwell in his presence forever. If you can just capture that today, right? One big idea to take, you know, and grasp and take hold of and do and make action out of it. You obey, it increases your capacity to obey. You obey then, it increases your capacity more, you know, and more and more and more. Many of you are mature believers. And you don't have problems with the basics of believing and following and keeping Jesus' commandments. But just try a little more. Just a little, right? Right? So, oh gosh, do I really want to say this? So, like, maybe, just maybe, right? This is just an idea. Tomorrow you get in your cars and you're going someplace. And the going isn't going as fast or as smoothly as you would like, right? And maybe instead of your normal response that you have in that moment, you could consider keeping the commandments of Christ and thinking and responding a little differently. Not that I ever have that problem. I wouldn't ask you to do something that I haven't already done myself, or at least tried to do myself. And then just that little thing, you know, the Spirit will work within you to then increase your capacity to keep His commandments a little more. Right? You show a little love on the roadway tomorrow, and then you'll discover you can show a little more love on the roadway. And then a little more. Instead of seeing this person as a bad person. And instead of seeing them as a bad person, you can start to give them grace and think, well, perhaps they've, you know, something urgent's happened and they just really need to do this and get to where they're going as quickly as possible. And at the very least, we can look at them and go, Lord, bless you. I pray that He will draw you closer to Himself, even as you're driving like a maniac. I didn't say we would love perfectly. Okay. That's asking a little too much, right? When the maniacs are driving around you, is not to recognize their maniacs. Just little bits, right? I mean, I've even started to change in the way I respond to, you know, difficulties while driving. I'm the guy that wants everything to go smoothly, exactly according to plan, right? Stop signs, you stop, then you go. And the persons who are next to you are supposed to stop and wait for you to go. I want that to happen, and when it doesn't, I get a little irritated because I like things to go the way they're supposed to go. So even in those moments, I've started to learn to respond differently. Like, I know this seems so elementary, but obedience starts at the elementary level. If they're the everyday things that happen and occur, you know, not the quiet times, not on Sunday mornings when you're here in church. It's the everyday elementary moments that's where obedience starts. You know, and I've had to learn to respond differently to traffic stuff. No, and it's not even if somebody's doing something wrong. It's just thicker than hair on a dog's back. That didn't come out, did it? Okay. Thicker than a hair on a dog's back. I said it's okay. Really thick traffic. Right? Nobody's doing anything wrong. We're just all there at the same moment. And asking myself, okay, Lord, I don't want to be here, but by your divine hand, you've put me in the middle of this thick traffic. What is it you want me to see and understand from this moment? Right? And sometimes He has an answer, and well, every time there's an answer. And sometimes it's something big like, well, I'm teaching you not to expect everything to go exactly the way you want it to. Fine. And then sometimes it's just as simple as, oh, I want you to see you're not in control. And while those responses from Him, for me when I'm in thick traffic, are not really responses I want to hear, like I'm more interested in the response of, you're right, I'm going to divide the traffic like Moses divided the waters and let you just zip right through. While those are the responses I want from Him, I nonetheless have such value and such richness in those moments when He simply says those simple little lessons. I want you to see that not everything's going to go exactly according to your plan. And then, of course, I take that simple little thing and start to realize, okay, things with me, things with Amy, things with our church, no matter how well of a plan I devise, they're not going to go exactly according to plan. And I don't have the freedom to try test cases and to, you know, run experiments to see if stuff's going to work. He loves us so much that he gives us himself so we can obey and keep his commandments. And if verse 23, if anyone loves me, Jesus, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. Again, I want that to soak in. God and Jesus have decided to make their home with you, with us. We sometimes forget that you, there in verse 23, is plural. It's not just the singular, he's going to be with me as an individual. He comes and makes his home with all of us corporately. And then whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. That's why John can tell us in 1 John that we know who are his disciples because they love one another. Keeping the commandments of Jesus, primarily love one another first, the first commandment of Jesus, means you're one of his disciples and you are in him and he is in you. But not everybody is going to do that. Not everybody's going to love Christ and love God. Some are going to hate him. Right? We see that with most often with the atheist. When you get them to peel back their layers of sophisticated intellectualism as to why they don't believe in God, and you get down to the core heart of their disbelief, it's bitterness and anger. Now, granted, most of the time that bitterness and anger is a result of something that they were looking for God to do that wasn't a bad thing to ask for, but nonetheless, he didn't grant it. And as a result of that, they became bitter and resentful of God. And then came, and that bitterness and resentment grew and grew until they denied his existence completely. Which is a good lesson for us. When the Lord does not grant us something, even though it's a good thing to ask for, and we start to get bitter with him and frustrated with him, we got to get rid of that fast. We got to get rid of that bitterness and anger because it will fester and boil and severely interfere with our walk with Jesus and eventually just dry us up on the inside like a dried fruit and a withering branch. And I'm really referring to the big moments in life. Someone gets cancer and we ask him to heal them, but he doesn't, and they die from cancer. Bitterness and anger. Mm-mm. Nope. I asked for something simple and good, and you would not give it to me. And that bitterness starts to grow, and the anger with it. So we have to just get rid of that bitterness and anger. We have to let it go. We have to turn to the Word, read the Word, and know that He is good, even when He doesn't grant us the good things we ask for, and that He is faithful to the end. And while we may not understand it here in this life, it will be made plain in the next life. And because those are the promises in His Word, we can trust Him even though He didn't grant it. And that's the beginning of letting the bitterness and the anger grow. Bitterness and anger go. And then the last thing that he says to us in this passage, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus speaks, it's like the Father speaking. The Father speaks and Jesus speaks. And now, in this present moment, the Father speaks and the Holy Spirit speaks. Jesus speaks and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. All of this so that His Word is made plain and made known to us, and because He loves us. Pure and simple. He just loves us enough to speak to us. Whether it's the simple things such as being encouraged in our walk with Christ one day, or whether it is the bigger things like calling us out of our comfort zones to go do something for Him, to expand the kingdom of God. Both of those are just as rich as the other. So my admonition and encouragement to you this morning is to hear the Word, hear the Spirit, and obey. And enjoy the fellowship, enjoy the bliss that comes from walking with our Savior and obeying Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for Your mercies and Your goodness. Just thank You so much for everything. How amazing is Your love. How amazing is Your care for us. How amazing is it that You would give us Your Holy Spirit. Just thank You, thank You, thank You. And I pray, Lord, that as we go forth from this building today and go forward in our week, that You will help us to see the opportunities to obey You and expand and grow in You, so that we will have richer fellowship with You. In Jesus' name, amen.